We've had some fairly heavy teaching over the last few weeks. I recognise that. We had all the studies concerning the timing of the Lord's return. And then we had tabernacles when John went into fairly great detail concerning tabernacles and the feasts. And then last week we were blessed with Dr. Anang and Nebuchadnezzar's testimony, which actually is on the website now. It took me a while this week, but it's on the website now. If you missed that, that is there. So today is going to be a little lighter and a little shorter, and but hopefully blessed nonetheless. So I wonder if you'd like to turn to Psalm 103. That's always a good psalm to turn to. Well, they're all good to turn to, aren't they? Apologies for all the technical issues this morning. Whilst we're turning to that scripture, Barbara, I don't know if you wanted to come and just say what you wanted to share about Friday.
And we raised £100. We've really good, and that will be shared between Macmillan and Cancer Research. I'm going to probably hold another coffee after then because it was such a good time, such a a blessing. Especially Alan didn't want to come, did you? But then he didn't want to go. it was a really good afternoon. Thank you to those that were able to come, and those that weren't, you missed out on some good cakes. Didn't the John? Yes. I think John sampled everything twice. Thank you.
Well, you've got to make sure the cakes are okay.
That's for sure. Yeah, well done. That was good, that. That was good. Praise the Lord. So, Psalm 103. Let's read from verse 8. The subject this morning is the importance of being kind. The importance of being kind. So verse 8 of Psalm 103, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourishes. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, so to your grandchildren, to such as keep his covenant, and to those who remember his commandments to do them. Amen. I'm just going to read one other scripture as well as we start. One verse from Psalm 145. The Lord is righteous in everything he does. He is filled with kindness. He is filled with kindness. New Living Translation. The Lord is kind. If you didn't get that message yet, he is really, really, really kind to us. He doesn't treat us as we deserve. You know, sometimes you say, I deserve this or I deserve that. Well, thank God, God doesn't treat us as we deserve. He is filled with kindness. And as we look at the subject of kindness, we're going to look at what the Hebrew word is that describes kindness. But there's lots of things we could say about it this morning. And it's not meant to be an exhaustive study. It's meant to be a look at the scriptures and then some practical applications of that. Because kindness is one of those things we really need. We need people to be kind to us, and we need to be kind to others. It's part of the fruit of the Spirit. Excuse me. Galatians 5, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. So it's part of the fruit of the Spirit that we will grow and develop in as we are abiding in the vine. You know, last week we had that connection with that scripture that Dr. brought about the tree that was the vision that Nebuchadnezzar had and the scripture from John 15. As we abide in the Lord, so kindness is part of the fruit that we will yield. Okay? It's not fruits, it's fruit. So it's part of the fruit that we will yield as we're abiding in the Lord. And I'm going to say some things that you absolutely already know. I'm not going to teach you anything particularly new this morning, although hopefully there'll be one or two things new. You might learn a Hebrew word that you might not have heard about before. But kindness makes all the difference. Kindness makes all the difference. Ask Fred about his chocolate milkshake. You know, somebody, I can't think of any other examples off the top of my head as we go through here, but we know that when somebody's being kind to us, it makes a difference, doesn't it? It makes us feel good, makes us feel better, lifts us up in our spirit. Acts of kindness, I'm going to call them AOKs. If Fred can have CMM for chocolate milkshake ministry, it should be CMSM, I suppose, we can have AOK as acts of kindness. And I thought that's kind of appropriate, really, because it makes you feel good. It makes you feel okay, doesn't it? It makes you feel better. AOKs. But acts of kindness speak love and acceptance to those receiving, on the receiving end of that act of kindness. It makes them feel valued. It makes us feel noticed. It makes us feel loved. And, you know, that's one of the things that we need as human beings. I looked online when I was preparing this word yesterday, and there's all sorts of hierarchical levels of human need in psychology and etc. And it's part of that. We need to be accepted. We need to belong to something. We need to be part of things. We need to have that sense of we are accepted. You know, we are accepted in the beloved, in God's wider family. But the idea of a local church is that we actually feel accepted in a practical sense. You know, so like when somebody's in hospital that they're visited, or when somebody can't get out, that, you know, that we help to meet one another's needs. Or when somebody just turns up and gives you your favourite bar of chocolate or something like that, you know. Whatever it might be, little acts of kindness help to make us feel accepted, help to make us feel good. I'm just going to turn to John chapter 1. If you want to look at these scriptures with me, you're very welcome, but you don't need to do necessarily. But in John chapter 1, there's an example of a kindness that Jesus gave to Nathanael. You might not think of it as a kindness, but I think it was. And I'm going to read from John 1, verse 45. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." So he's saying, we've found him who Moses was speaking about, the Messiah. That's what he was saying. And Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" We mentioned that this week because we're talking about the guys who have gone to Israel. And somebody was asking us about Nazareth. I forget who it was now who we were talking to. And we were saying, oh, in our opinion, Nazareth is a bit like Grimsby. Can anything good come out of Grimsby?
Yes.
Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Yes. That was the reputation that it had. It was probably Israel's Grimsby back in the day. I don't know whether they had any dancers come from there, but there we go. So Nathaniel says, oh, can anything good come out of Nazareth? It was a bit of a joke, I think, there. And Philip says to him, come and see. So he brought Nathaniel down to meet Jesus. And Jesus saw Nathaniel, verse 47, coming towards him and said of him, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no deceit. And Nathaniel said to him, how do you know me? And I think, as I've said before, I think Jesus had a word of knowledge there, because probably Nathaniel was thinking along those lines, or doing something, or something had been said to him. So that when the Lord said, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no deceit, it meant something to Nathaniel. It connected with him in some way. And Nathaniel said to him, how do you know me? And Jesus answered and said to him, before Philip called you, while you were under the fig tree, I saw you. I saw you. And that reminds me of Abraham's maid.
Hagar.
She'd run away, hadn't she, into the desert. And she'd felt rejected. She'd felt not accepted. She'd been ostracized, and through no fault of her own, probably, certainly not at the beginning. So she'd gone out into the desert, and the Lord met her in the desert, and she called the Lord, the one who sees me. God sees us even before we think he does. Nathaniel here was touched by the fact that Jesus had noticed him when, even before Philip had even mentioned him. See, the Lord knows our situations. And here, the Lord Jesus, I think that was like a kindness to Nathaniel. Because look at Nathaniel's reaction. He said, before Philip called you, while you were under the fig tree, I saw you, Jesus said to him. Nathaniel answered and said to him, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. What a reaction. So there's obviously things going on there that spoke into Nathaniel's heart for him to suddenly declare. He was way ahead of all the other disciples in making that declaration, way ahead. So God had spoken to him, and I think that little act of kindness really spoke to Nathaniel. And you know, for us, it's important, isn't it, that we have that sense of when somebody needs a little act of kindness. Sometimes they only need to be little acts, but we all are in need. Even just somebody noticing and recognizing, maybe they're not quite themselves today. Maybe I'll just whatever to help encourage and bless them. Okay, the Hebrew word that I mentioned earlier on that is translated kindness mostly in the Old Testament and mercy in the New Testament is the Hebrew word chesed. Chesed, spelt chesed, maybe, because it's a ch sound. That's if you, unless you're Scottish, it's a little bit awkward for us to say. But it's chesed. And it means, technically, it means grace, love, kindness, mercy, loving kindness. When you see all of these sorts of words, which is why we read some of them earlier on in Psalm 103, when we see those sort of words, they're all coming from chesed. Or usually from the word hesed. It's mentioned 400 times in Scripture. It's an important word. I'm just going to read you several examples of that particular word from various Scriptures. Just let me read you Exodus 34, verse 6. And the Lord passed before him, Moses, and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth. So when the Lord's declaring who he is, he uses the word chesed, kindness. Joel 2:13. So rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God. Why? For he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness. And he relents from doing harm. Again, God's character inextricably linked with this word hesed, kindness. Jonah 4, verse 1. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he became angry. So he prayed to the Lord and said, Lord, Was not this what I said when I was still in my country? Therefore I fled previously to Tarshish. For I know that you are a gracious and merciful God, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, one who relents from doing harm. God is kind. Psalm 86, verse 15. But you, O Lord, are a merciful and gracious God, slow to get angry, full of unfailing love and truth. So the fact that these things have been repeated and repeated in different contexts, it's God's character to be kind. He is kindness itself. It represents the character of God. And kindness, therefore, is a quality of life that should characterize those who know God. So kindness, if we are walking in the Spirit, if we are becoming more and more like Him, then we should be becoming more and more kind. So when we're sharp with our tongues, is that like God? It's not, is it? When we're harsh in our attitude, is that like God? No, it's not. And we're all guilty of those sort of things at different times, I'm quite sure. So we need to recognise that if we're going to be like the Lord, if we're going to be kind, we need to be abiding in Him. We need to be like Him in order to be kind. And kindness is not necessarily a feeling, but it's an action. You can't be kind by saying or doing nothing. Let me qualify that. You probably can by deliberately not doing something that you know is going to hurt somebody, but in actual fact, that's a positive action because you've taken that decision to not hurt somebody or not offend somebody. But kindness is it's an action. It's an expression of love. So when you give somebody that favourite bar of chocolate, green and black, 70%, if anybody's wondering. It's an action. It's something we do. It's something we do. Picking up the phone, visiting somebody, making sure somebody's okay, etc., etc. It's not necessarily a feeling. So if you're not feeling kind, that's not the problem. You can still be kind. You can still be kind. And we see this word hesed in the book of Ruth quite a bit. Actually, I'm going to read three scriptures from Ruth just to show you the context again of this. We're probably familiar with the story of Ruth. If you're not, I would recommend that you read it. So much depth in that simple story, those simple four chapters. But in Ruth 1, verse 8, Naomi says to her two daughters-in-law, "Go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me." The Lord deal kindly with you, hesed. Chapter 2, verse 20, then Naomi said to her daughter-in-law Ruth, "Blessed be he of the Lord who has not forsaken his kindness to the living and the dead." And Naomi said to her, "This man is a relation of ours, one of our close relatives." Again, who has not forsaken his kindness. And chapter 3, then he said, "Blessed are you," this is Boaz speaking to Ruth a little later in the story, "Blessed are you of the Lord, my daughter, for you have shown more kindness at the end than at the beginning, in that you did not go after young men, whether rich or poor." So it's used of Ruth in that context, in that she demonstrated her love, her compassion, her kindness by what she did for her mum-in-law. And it can also be described as a loyal love. The kindness that God is looking for is especially exhibited by Ruth there. It's a loyalty. It's a loving loyalty. There's an element of that about it as well. I want to read from a website. There's a science behind kindness. Did you know there's a science of kindness? And so this is from a website called Random Acts of Kindness. Now, scientifically, all these things have been shown to be the case. Kindness increases the love hormone. Witnessing acts of kindness produces oxytocin, occasionally referred to as the love hormone, which aids in lowering blood pressure and improving our overall heart health. Oxytocin also increases our self-esteem and optimism, which is helpful, extra helpful when we're in anxious or shy in a social situation. Kindness increases energy. About half of participants in one study reported that they feel stronger and more energetic after helping others. Many also reported feeling calmer and less depressed, with increased feelings of self-worth. Kindness decreases pain. Engaging in acts of kindness produces endorphins, the brain's natural painkiller. Stress. Perpetually kind people have 23% less cortisol, the stress hormone, and age slower than the average population. Anxiety. A group of highly anxious individuals performed at least 6 acts of kindness a week. After 1 month, there was a significant increase in positive moods, relationship satisfaction, and a decrease in social avoidance. In socially anxious individuals, the University of British Columbia study said. Happiness. A 2010 Harvard Business School study of happiness in 136 countries found that people who are altruistic, in this case, people who are generous financially, such as with their giving, were happiest overall. Lifespan. People who volunteer tend to experience fewer aches and pains. Giving help to others protects overall health twice as much as aspirin protects against heart disease. People 55 and older who volunteer for 2 or more organisations have an impressive 44% lower likelihood of dying early. And it goes on a bit more about that. Kindness prevents depression. Stephen Post of Case Western Reserve University School of Medicine found that when we give of ourselves, everything from life, satisfaction to self-realisation and physical health is physically improved. Mortality is delayed, depression is reduced, and well-being and good fortune are increased. Blood pressure, committing acts of kindness, lowers blood pressure. According to Dr. David R. Hamilton, acts of kindness create emotional warmth, which releases a hormone known as oxytocin. Oxytocin causes the release of a chemical called nitric oxide, which dilates the blood vessels. This reduces blood pressure, and therefore oxytocin is known as a cardioprotective hormone. So there you go. There's science behind being kind. The Lord just says to us to be kind, because he knows it's good for us. But there's science behind that. I thought that was quite interesting. We learned something. But the Bible says, Ephesians 5, Paul says to us, therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. So we need to be kind because God is kind. Paul there says, be imitators of God. In other words, copy God's characteristics. Be kind. You know, Jesus, as God on earth, his whole life was kindness. His whole life was kindness. Let me remind you of Philippians 2 from verse 5. Let this mind, or this attitude, be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. In other words, so copy what the Lord Jesus did. That's what it's saying there. Be imitators of the Lord Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but he made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Jesus' whole life was an expression of kindness. He is our definition of kindness. He didn't need to come down to earth, but he was kind to us. He loved us. He expressed it in an action by demonstrating the love of God to us. Be kind, because God is kind. Be imitators of God. And so to do that, we need to know who we are in God. We need to know that we are his children. And I know that this is one subject that we could talk about all day long, really, who we are in God. But again, I want to just flick through one or two scriptures. We are God's children. He is our Father. You know, when you see little children and their fathers, or you relate to your own children, speaking about Eliana and Reuben, Christy's twins, and Tally, we had a day with them on Tuesday at Centre Parks. It was wonderful. And every time we're seeing them, because they're not local, so we're seeing a change in their development. And so it was wonderful to see them. And it's wonderful to start to see the characteristics of their mum and dad starting to come through. We've said about Tally, in certain photographs of Tally, wow, that's just Christy to a T. You know, at that age, Christy looked exactly like that in certain pictures, etc., etc. And so as we start to grow, we also should be exhibiting the characteristics of our Father. So as we understand that we are his children, that will help us. Do you know you are a child of the Most High God if you're born again? We are God's children. Hallelujah. Let me quickly read you a few scriptures. Romans 8:15. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. That's another Hebrew word, Abba. Nothing to do with dancing queens. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And in 1 John 3, verse 1 and 2, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore the world does not know us, because it does not know him. Beloved, now, today, here and now, October the 14th here in Scarthorpe, Grimsby, we are the children of God. We are God's children. And it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, what we shall be like. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. So we are God's children. Now, I know you're probably thinking, yeah, we know that, we know that, we know that. But we need to know it. We need to know it. We absolutely need to feel it, understand it, recognize this is who we are. And so as we grow in our faith, we will become more like our Abba, our Father, our Heavenly Father. And his characteristic is chesed. His characteristic is kindness. And so we will be kind as well. Hallelujah. In order for us to really express that kindness, we as believers need to come to our Father and bring him all our fears, all our insecurities, all our failings, and leave them at the foot of the cross. We need that healing as his children, because we've been brought into his family. We've been adopted into his family. 1 Peter 5 verse 7 says, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. At the foot of the cross, that laying down our burden, It's a healing process. If we recognise that we come to the Lord as when we come to Him, then actually, you know, we have wounds, we have issues, maybe things we've inherited, maybe personality dysfunctions of some kind, whatever. We come to the Lord and we lay them at the cross. We can cast all our anxieties, all the things we're afraid of, worried about. We can leave them all at the cross because He cares for us. He is our Father. And you know, there's something about a father taking the child's hand and just walking with them. You know, I was walking with Tally through the forest a bit on Tuesday, and the ground's a bit bumpy, and she was a little bit, you know, a bit trepidatious about going any further. So you're just holding onto my finger and walking with me. I mean, I'm not a father, obviously. I'm a grandfather, a sabba. There's another Hebrew word for you, a sabba. But there's something about when the Lord takes our hand and carries us along, helps us get through those bits that are a bit rocky, those things that are a bit, you know, I saw a little bit of a hill in the forest, just round the corner from where the apartment was, and I knew she likes climbing. So I said, come on, let's go and climb. So we got to this little bit of a hillock, if you like, in the trees, and it was hard for her. She's got her favourite wellies on. It's hard for her to climb up, but just a little bit of help, and she got to the top. And that's a picture, really. That's what our Father does for us. If we cast all our cares upon Him, because He cares for us. So when we're in that position, that's when we can start to really be those people who express God's kindness to others. Kindness stems from realizing the Lord loves and values everyone, regardless of detail. Jesus died for all. He died for every single person on the face of the earth. And so that person's value comes from that price that's been paid. You know, if you're looking to buy something, what's it worth? Well, it's only worth what somebody's prepared to pay. Well, Jesus paid the price for every one of us, every human being on the earth. And so everybody's value comes from that price that has been paid. So as we focus on the Lord and not on ourselves, we can share His kindness. And every act of kindness that we share in the name of the Lord will draw people closer to God. It will speak to them of God's kindness in our lives. It will speak to them of God's kindness to them as well. And in a way, that's our outreach. That's an outreach. You know, when you're kind to somebody, when you don't need to be, that will speak into somebody's heart. As much we could say about that. The kindness we express to others speaks of the kindness God has shown us. Okay, let's just finish off with a few small AOKs, acts of kindness, and one big one. So, and you'll have all your own examples of these yourselves, but a simple smile to somebody who needs a friendly face, a touch, you know, cheer up sort of thing. A thoughtful gift. Queen of Black, 70%. A shop for somebody that can't get out. You know, maybe somebody can't get out and needs some bread and milk. A little thought. Do you need anything? Maybe a visit. Maybe somebody is not able to see people. Maybe a visit would encourage them. Somebody in hospital, a hospital visit. Half an hour of your time to go and just visit somebody, encourage them. Maybe a phone call or a text or a word in season. All of these small things. They're small things. What do they cost us? Nothing. But it just shows that we're noticing that person. That person is important and loved, and we want them to feel better. All of these things are small acts of kindness. But I want to finish by reading from Luke chapter 10, a well-known story, a big act of kindness. And Luke 10, verse 30, Jesus answered and said, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho." Well, some of our friends will have been on that road this week, from Jerusalem to Jericho. "And this certain man," so this is an actual account, it's not a made-up story, it's an account, because it was a certain man that Jesus said, "And this man fell among thieves, and they stripped him of his clothing, they mugged him, they wounded him, departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a certain priest came down that road," somebody who should have done something about it, "and when he saw him," this priest, "he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked and didn't want to get involved. Maybe he was busy, but he passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan," so somebody who the Jewish people would not normally associate with, somebody who was classed as less than a full Jew, okay, in that day and generation. So in present day society, we might say it might have been a gypsy that people discriminate against, don't they, very often. It might have been somebody who we think is not really part of our normal society, somebody you wouldn't expect to receive a kindness from. But this Samaritan, as he journeyed, he came where this man who had been beaten up, where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. He was kind. So he didn't say, "The Lord bless you," and carry on walking. He did something about it. So he went to him, he bandaged his wounds, poured on oil and wine, gave him first aid basically, set him on his own animal, so he put him in his own car, let's translate it into modern day language, gave him first aid, put him in his own car, brought him to the hospital and took care of him, if we're translating it into modern day language. He says he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, took care of him. On the next day when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper and said to him, "Take care of this man. Whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay you." So he was making a provision for this man to recover from his wounds. Jesus said to the man that was trying to get out of, "Who is my neighbor?" "Which of these three do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves?" And the man said, "He who showed mercy on him." And then Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." And that's what the Lord is saying to us this morning. Go and do likewise. Go and be kind. It might be a small thing, or it might be a big thing. Whatever it is, go and do likewise. Go and show that kindness. Be kind, because the Lord is kind. And as we're all being kind to one another, let me tell you, people will want to be part of that, because people are looking for love, acceptance, kindness, because we live in a brutal and brutalized society. People are looking for kindness. It will be an outreach. Praise God, we already are doing many of these things. I know that. Kindness already is shown. We know that. I'm just making a point of it for us to recognize how biblical it is. And how scientific even it is good for us to be kind. And the more we are a kind congregation, the more the Lord will add to our numbers and encourage each one of us in the congregation. So we all need to go and do likewise, like the Samaritan. We all need to be kind, because it's the character of God. So praise the Lord. Wonder if we could have like a little bit of homework with this, couldn't we? How many acts of kindness might you count that you do before next weekend? Not that we're making a list, but it's a kind of, you know, when we're actually consciously thinking about it, actually, I could class that as an act of kindness. It might be an interesting thing for us to just think, actually, I'm going to be kind today. I'm going to do something kind to somebody. Just leave that with you. Just a thought. The Lord wants us to just be an expression of his love, doesn't he, as we go through life. But praise God. Shall we pray together? Lord, we thank you because you are wrapped in kindness. You are kind to us, Lord. Your kindness, your love, your mercy knows no bounds, and it endures forever. Lord, I thank you that you have been kind to me when I have not deserved it. You've been kind to each one of us when our actions, our lives have not deserved your kindness, Lord, which is probably most of the time. So, Lord, we give you thanks. We want to be those who follow after you. We want to be those who walk in your characteristics. We want to be those, Lord, who exhibit the fruit of the Spirit, especially the fruit of kindness, Lord. We want to be kind to one another. So, Lord, show us, I pray, open our eyes. Small acts of kindness, big acts of kindness. Help us, Lord, I pray, to be like you by being kind. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to sing again, and if we can get the new song up, Keith, we'll sing that new song again, if that's